back. Yeah. In this world of no pity, I was raised in the ghettos of the city. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Mama, she worked so hard to earn every penny, yeah, yeah, oh, Lord. Something is holding me back, Is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm black? Oh, somebody tell me, what can I do? Will I survive or will I die?
I gotta tell you, today has been one technical disaster after the other. It happens. What can you do? You just gotta roll with it, right? Yeah. Syl Johnson, the great Syl Johnson. See now, the record, this is from a compilation on LP. It's the Twinight Records 45s, complete 45s of Syl Johnson. So there's a 45 version, and then there's like an extended version that's 7.5 minutes long. And so this was supposed to be 7.5 minutes, but it wasn't. It was like the short version. So that threw me off, right? What are you gonna do? They lied. They lied on the record. That's it. You know, what can I tell you? The Hafler Trio and Bruce Gilbert from an album collaboration of theirs called Idiots Laughing Matter. We heard an excerpt from that. We heard Bismillah Khan from 1949, I think. Bismillah Khan and Party. Chennai instrumental. That's from a compilation called Victrola Favorites, Artifacts from Bygone Days. We heard Toho Sara, which is Kawabata Makoto and Asahito Nanjo, I believe, collaboration. They did a couple of albums under the name Toho Sara. And we heard Mei Zhu Tan Shou, Part 5. And that's the title of the album as well, Mei Zhu Tan Shou. We heard Aaron Moore and Eric K. Skodvin from their collaboration called Instead of Rain, I Bring a Hat. Grown Horse was the title of the piece you heard in that one. And the John Chandler piece that mysteriously just dropped out somewhere in there. Still Light Outside, the title track. I don't know what happened with that. I think it was the CD player. Yeah, well, that's it. I'm done here. Thanks for listening. Thanks to everyone who checked in on the playlist chat board. And stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition coming up momentarily. You're tuned to Freeform Radio WFMU, East Orange, WMFU, Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. I'll see you next week. Stay tuned.
Hey, if you're here for the TV ceremony, hold up your hand. If you're in the group, the 6 p.m. Eastern group. All right, great. It looks like we have a lot of folks here today. Welcome. This is a TV ceremony, and it's brought to you by Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU. And we're so thankful that you could be with us today. And so let's go ahead and start the whole thing. And if you've seen it before, sing along. Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we meditate together, as we create a ritual from the mundaneness of our life, from the ordinary, and we take it and we elevate it and make it something special. So when we waste time together, we sanctify time. I'm so rich, I can waste time. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted as a child. I dressed as a child. I pooed my pants. I pooed other people's pants. Because once I found out I was good at something, I thought, how can I make a little money at this? And the other children at the daycare would pay me to poo their pants for them because they were lazy and I had a little extra. And it went on like that, and I eventually threw tantrums for other children. Children would come to me and say, I need to throw a tantrum. I don't feel I have the energy. And I'd say, hey, I've reduced it to a sort of art, like a dance. There's like a kata. You know, we do these movements, and it's just, I make tantrum sounds, and then your parents will get the point, because we always get our way if we emotionally terrorize not only our parents, but God. I said, I'm gonna do something if you don't, God, answer my prayer, or I'm gonna, and threaten like that. That's how I learned to pray. And it does it always work? No. Oh my goodness. We experiment with the way we talk to one another and ourselves, don't we? Oh, bless you for being with me here today. I just want to tell you stories. I want to tell you something that happened to me when I was a child, but I don't remember anything. I've really blocked a lot of it off, not because it was bad or anything, but I think it's pointless. You know how you have that coworker who's always going to tell you about their dream in excruciating detail? And you think, how are you waking up in the morning and thinking about that and not something terrifying that immediately preoccupies you and erases that previous experience? But no, their dreams endure, and they see it as some sort of message from beyond. I better make an account of this so I can tell it. And that is, I'm going to pretend that happened to me and tell you about a wonderful dream I had. And it was prophetic, because if you make things up, all your dreams can be prophetic. You can say, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. I approach life that way. Say, I knew it. If I didn't know it, I should have. So what's the difference? I'm offering you today my traditional delivery of both vignettes and jokes, not formalized jokes. The kind of joke, what kind of joke, Hardy? The kind of joke that person who works in IT is. You think, what a joke that guy. Talk about privilege. And he's just there because his initials are also IT or something, and somebody thought they were being funny. Oh, there's so many smart Alex. I want to go back in time and meet the first Alec who was smart. I guess there was a long line of stupid ones. And oh, you're one of the smart Alex. Because by and large, they're dullards. Not all ones that are now. I don't even know any. Oh my goodness. I think I know an Alex. But I know no Alec. Isn't that something? How could you go your whole life like that? But I have so many Brians, I don't even want to yell Brian or Dave or anything like that. Because who knows? Scott. Which one, right? No, my goodness. You could go through the whole alphabet in school. If there's a common name, then you become your given name and the initial of your last name. So when you're giving a child a name, make sure that it also goes with the initial and not just the name. So if your last name is Marcus, remember, it's also M. So Flempem Marcus is better than Flempem M. Flempem is not, my goodness, is that even a given name? It could be. There's a lot of cultures that want to police given names. I saw that. I think it was Japan or something. People were giving, they thought, too, they're cutesy names or names after cartoon characters. And they were saying, we need to do something about that and go back to just giving people names that sound like just sounds. That might mean something, though. Does my name mean anything? Yes, it does. In fact, there's very few people that have the first name Hardy that's spelled the way mine is, because mine's spelled the way something that is, I don't know, whether it's overly caloric. That's how I see myself. Just a little too much. That's a little much. When you get the menu of the desserts, and so that sounds good. That one, that's a little rich. It's a little fatty. And what is the fat that I'm bringing to you? Oh my goodness, a fat and a sweetness, I hope. The fat is oily. I'm oily somehow. I don't know. I want to be satisfying in that way. You know, when you take something and you make it really fatty and salty and sweet and heroin or something, I don't know, make it addictive in there too. And It's just you get hooked on it. And that's what I've always wanted is not only to do good, but to encourage dependence on me. Say, I wish only Hardy can really help me. I don't know if I'm being sarcastic or not. Sometimes to explore my real inner feelings, I pretend I'm pretending. And then I can face up to some uncomfortable truths. And, oh boy, they're nothing but I am like the princess in the pea. Where I feel, allow myself to feel uncomfortable truths. And then let them nag at me. And then blow them out of proportion or something. And then go, I can't stop thinking about this pea. I don't even know if the pea's still there. Once it's gone, I'm feeling a phantom pea feeling. A pea, not pea, pee-pee. Pea, the fruit? I don't know what it is. Legume. Is it a legume? I'm pretty sure it is. And so many, peas have been both at the center of so many wonderful human accomplishments. Like that Orson Welles getting really mad when he's reading a frozen pea ad. Or Mendelian Mendelssohn, which took the peas and he said, hey, I've just discovered genetics. How about that? Mendelian Mendelssohn, I think was his name. Something. Gregor. But he put the peas together. I think he had been into that anyway. And say, hey, when you mix two kinds of peas, you get a third kind. I don't know what, a chickpea or a black-eyed pea or something. He saw something change and thought, this is probably science. And that's how you go on to do great things. Kids, I want you to stay in school. And when I mean that, I mean don't go home at the end of the day. Just stay there. Say, I'm a live here now. Why not? I'm giving myself independence. And I'm going to live at the school in a capsule apartment. And I'm not going to misbehave or anything. My goodness. I don't want you to, because if you're going to do that, you got to have manners and be good to others. If you're going to live at the school and just stay there, you should stay wherever you are, maybe. Stillness is a wonderful thing. People don't practice it much anymore. But when children come to me and say, Hardy, because they do come to me for advice, say, what should I do? I say, who says you got to do anything? And they go, well, I got to feed myself. I go, well, let's see what happens. Just be still. You know, maybe a hamburger will come by. And I don't mean any of these things literally. These are the secret ideas in a little religion I'm trying to put together. I hope it doesn't catch on. Isn't that funny? I have a philosophy that is self-destroying. And so I make sure that I thwart any tendencies as I create them. And therefore, there's hardly any followers, really. And that's fine with me. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with dues or how we're going to get the money. It's always you have to disguise it. You go, you know, we can't charge him, but yeah, you're donating it, but we highly encourage it or God will kill you. So is it, I'm giving freely. Or just go ahead and straight up charge people or something. I don't know. I think it'd be fun to charge them based on a lottery so that the price of it just does not balance with their means. So maybe you don't make very much. You have a very humble salary, and yet you get this bill, and it's for hundreds of thousands of dollars. And yet maybe a wealthy person gets, theirs is two. But in between, you know, it's all over the place. So there's a fairness in it, in that it's unfair to everyone. And that doesn't provide solace, does it? Oh, my goodness, I wish I could calm my heart. How should I do it? I say there's old television shows that are so devoid of any kind of depth or content or that you can watch them in a meditative way. And that's now I'd like to introduce you to something I've been working on a little while. And it's inspired by, you know, Cha Do and the other tea ceremonies. And this is what I'm calling the TV ceremony. Now, it's a great way to sort of cleanse your mind like it's a palate. What are some ways to cleanse your palate in real life? Can you think of some? One of them is some kind of mint sherbet. I've seen that used. Or lime sherbet or whatever. Just a little bit. Like an amuse-bouche amount. And then you could cleanse it. Or mouthwash or something. Or give. When I'm having a dinner party, I'll give people a little brush and say, scrub the top of your mouth a little bit. And your tongue. Because it might... I see a lot of people get their tongues all coated. They don't even know it. And it's a fun expression because a cartoonist can put an actual little coat on a tongue and people go, I know what that is. So we cleanse our mind as if it's a palate. And we can, how do we do that? We do that with a sort of mind sherbet. And that would be some old and irrelevant television shows. The way television used to be. Which it's just an aggressive waste of your time, a really cynical, aggressive waste of your time. And there's something lovely about that. It's their anti-flowers, or whatever it is. Television is a horror. It is a vast wasteland, but one that is just absolutely begging to be explored. And maybe even colonize. I'm going to go live in the television. I'm going to fantasize that I'm on an old television show. And I'm going to dress up like it. And I'm going to build a room in my house like it's the command center of that show. And I'm going to retreat into that fantasy. Because why not? Because Don Quixote was a Trekkie. So isn't that interesting? Did you know that? This is, I have gone back in time many, many, many times, and Don Quixote's always going to cons. Isn't that great? And I wonder why do they call them that? I always thought. Someone said, oh, it's short for convention. I was like, is it though? What about Long Con? I've gone to that. That's a fun one. It's for grifters. And they get together and say, what are some things that we could do? How can we integrate ourselves into a community? And then just establish ourselves there and doing sort of like parasitic sales. And it's lovely because we also bring each other casseroles when there's a death. And in that many ways, that's like having a church, isn't it? Or any kind of house of worship. Doesn't have to be a house of worship. Could be a duplex. People are snobs. Say, no, I want a whole house. Say, what if God's word is for you to have a duplex of it or some other kind of multifamily unit? Just a condo of worship. And it doesn't even have to be that. And again, I don't want to... The capsule idea, just you in a closet. How about that? So what does everybody need to know? I want somebody to see I'm praying. Really? Who needs to see you? Well, someone, or what's the point? Yeah, why? Well, it's a signal, like an accent. It lets people know that I've got allegiance to the group. Well, why? But here's the thing, though. That's like letting everybody listen in on your phone call. So I say this. I say, go into the closet. And the Bible. Hardy and the Bible say this, but mine has nothing to do with that. But I would advise going into a little small space and talking to yourself like it's the confession booth of one of those old reality shows like Realish World or one of them. But it's just you and Dr. Manhattan, and you're just talking, and they don't talk back necessarily. But it's a good opportunity to hear your heart. Because like your heartbeat, you must have silence to listen to it. And then your heart will speak to you in heart of dubba speak. I can't interpret it always. But it has something to do with also how rapidly it's going. Beats per minute. Hearts are just like, in so many ways, are like GarageBand. And it's up to you. The beats per minute is there. What are you going to do with it? Right? Which beats are you going to emphasize?
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm cleaning something up and I'm concentrating on that. But here, I'll get back to you. I'm looking at you. I'm sorry. I'm back. A lot of times the mind wanders. It goes off on paths. That's why the TV ceremony focuses it. So we're just going to concentrate on this thing. So I would advise getting a show that might be slightly before your time, but one that you may have seen a lot because, you know, back in the day, they needed content. So everything, they just played it over and over again. If it was ever on, even if it was a failure the first time around, they would say, let's show it to children. And that's what we do with our intellectual garbage in this country. We go, give it to kids. They'll poo out art. Will they? So, underground art, which comes up every decade and a half, like cicadas, doesn't it? Say, oh, I like that again. Look at that primitive style. That was done. That's true underground because now there is, there are, secret jokes. And just like there's secret wisdom in various religious organizations, there are secret jokes too. And I know you've seen them because you'll see just people start to laugh at something and you go, well, I don't know, was that funny? That's a secret joke. They know it. Some things are jokes and we don't know them. And you think, oh, it's not me. The minute you think that, it's trouble. Maybe I'm the joke. Well, maybe. Well, what are you going to do about it? I suggest nothing. I always say that. So if you've determined that you're something, oh, a bad person. All right, that's great. What are you going to do about it? Well, I should die. I choose nothing. Because I think that coming to conclusions is often premature, and there is no mature. So just hold off, and you can adjust, and I would try to navigate life by just small little lies, not the hurtful kind. How you doing? I'm fine. Am I fine? Is there any point in saying otherwise? That's how I go about it. Oh, I love you. Then sometimes I get to have pure joy. Undiluted. You don't have to add cornstarch to the joy or anything like that. Let's stretch it out. No, let's burn it all tonight. Let's go ahead. Oh, I love you, and I have the experience of being together here as we go through the TV ritual, the TV ceremony. So what you do is you have a TV, and I guess you all sit in front of it. The host sits sort of off to the side because they wants the guests to get the best view of the television. And then I say something like, I'm about to turn the set on. And then we're going to stare at it for a while. And then I will shut it off. And you'll all go, hey, what, hey, like that. And that's because we were in another world. Shutting off a television is like being born. So why am I out of the womb, the beautiful, warm womb, the womb? Just mush it all together. That's what it is. I'm floating in it, floating in the umbilical, what do you call it, the fluid, amniotic fluid, like it's a mikveh. And then they yank you out of it. Turns that television off. The television goes off, makes that sound. Click. Like that, doesn't it? Doesn't yours? They should make more noise than they do. I don't like the silent nature of electronics. It should make, and a lot of times computers do make, you know, why is it making that grinding noise? That can't be good. But I love it. And a lot of people add, I remember, and maybe it still is, a lot of people would add a sound effect to their typing on the computer keyboard to make it sound like an old typewriter. And to, I guess, annoy or provoke your coworkers or family members. So let us now, I'm on journey with me now, won't you take, let me take you like I'm a tour guide. You'll notice on your right, there's some buildings. Okay, close your eyes. We're going to be just like it's a tour. I'll make sound effects and everything. We're riding in a bus. We're riding in a bus. And on your right, now prepare yourself. I'm going to use language that is so descriptive, you're going to see those buildings. I'm going to say, there's a building. And it's big. And see, the way I say it like that speaks volumes, doesn't it? I don't have to go into detail about color, shape, or anything. I go, big building. And now you see it, don't you? On the other side, on your left side, or the other side, or what would be the west side or north, a big building, even bigger, like that. And then you do the rest with your imagination. But you see it, don't you? I'm taking you on a sort of tour with my words. Come, let the words be like guiding insects. Say, look at those large insects marching. I'm going to follow them. They're leading me somewhere. They're my guides. They're my guardian angels. But because angels have sort of insect wings, don't they? Not bird wings. Because otherwise they'd just be, their hands would be that we've gone through this. And I do believe that some insects are calming or spirits or angels or even specifically my dead great aunts, Aunt Helen and Aunt Alice. Because I had this experience the other day. There was a dragonfly came up to me. And it said, are you hungry, kiddo? Like that. And I was like, oh, it's Aunt Helen. And I smell cigarettes, first of all. And then there she was. And all my beautiful deceased relatives. I guess I'm going to have to see them all. Oh, God. Oh, God. I dread it. I'm looking forward to it and dread it at the same time. You know, it is. Oh, every time I cough, I think I'm coming to see you. I should make my reservations now for death stuff. I've got to think about it. I mean, some of it will be taken care of for me because they literally, your body has to be, something has to be done with it. And I think that'll probably work out, but it's also nice to have a plan, you know, like Jeremy Bentham, and to have whatever institution you want to have your mummified remains propped up in. So I'm thinking about that. I don't know whether it's going to be I was thinking some kind of clothing store so that I could, you know, and then put some nice sports coats on me or something. I think it'd look sharp and edgy, you know. But who knows? I don't, they could burn me up or don't want to be where they pour Lucite all over you and pose you and put you in a museum and then go, this is a human body throwing a frisbee. Don't do that. Don't peel my skin off and then lacquer me and then show me engaged in some kind of pastime that looks like I'm enjoying myself at the Villages, but really, I'm taxidermed. Don't do that. I have some... Why? You won't know it. I won't, but it just won't contribute to human dignity. And I want to... I'm already plagued with guilt that that's a possibility. So we'll see. What happens? Oh, bless you. Should we turn the television on? I'm going to turn it on.
Hartigan Zeroes. Starring Hardy White. Also starring Lou Register as Lubo, Butchie Spinoza as Butchlow. Don Bourgeoisie as Don Kirk. And Warren Clamp as Clink.
Looks like Clink's got visitors. They got a lot of equipment, too.
Butchlow, open up the eavesdropping percolator. Let's hear what Clink's up to.
Tell us who you are.
Who I am? Well, that's both an easy question and a tough question. The easy answer is I'm Bill Clink. I'm head man, commandante of Main Camp 13. Which is a high-security detention facility serving the regional and on a national scale. There has never been, nor will there be, an escape from Main Camp 13. They get in,
but they don't get out.
Oh, brother. It sounds like a reality show.
And the hard part to answer is,
what is it in Bill Clink that terrifies his enemies, my enemies?
Terrified.
More than terrified. I'd say they're seduced, even. I'm treated like a tough professor who they all want to impress. And they fear me and love me at the same time. And the only other paradoxical relationship I can think of that mimics that is, well, frankly,
God.
Yeah, Kolymos. Who? I looked up the dumbest Greek god and it said that.
Let's just say.
I pull the strings. Ugh, I can't anymore. Lubeau, get over to Clink's office and try to get a peek of this TV crew. Who are these guys and why are they here now?
Roger.
Should I go into the tunnel and make a guard's outfit?
No, Don Kirk. Sit tight for now. I have a feeling there's more to this story.
I've got advancing capillitis, but I'm ready to play. I daily see my symptoms start to soon go away. I'm living my life with the life that I have. Controlling capillitis with a frontruling tab.
Frontruling tabs control most types of advanced and systematic aligned capillitis in adults and adult-sized children. Frontruling tabs may cause dizziness, fever, and red sores or open sores and dry patch skin. Dark rashes may occur. Stroke, mania, choking, or shortness of breath develop in some cases. Call your doctor if there's changes in body temperature, mood swings, or severe abdominal pain. Frontruling tabs do not control drug-resistant or Jack-Pack syndrome variant of hepatitis. Hair loss, listen sense, or mouth dryness are possible side effects.
I'm ready to control my symptoms and live my life.
You're ready to take back your life? Ask your doctor about once-a-week fresh lunch time.
I'm worth it.
Knock, knock.
Come in.
Hey, Colonel Clink.
Lubeau, why are you here?
You said if I liked cleaning so much, I should come by and clean your office anytime. So I came by to clean your office.
Who is this man?
This is one of the prisoners I told you about who are so eager to please me.
Can't you see I'm right in the middle of an interview for the number one military profile show in the nation?
So be extra quiet?
No, be extra not here.
Ah, I see. You don't want me to cramp your style, Commandant.
Wait, wait. The prisoner might make for a perfect scene.
Yes, that's just what I was thinking.
A good way to show my compassion and charisma. Should we have him shine my shoes? No. Better yet, let's get some shots of you disciplining the prisoner.
Disciplining?
Disciplining. Yes. Maybe force him to do some push-ups or something more drastic.
Hey, it looks like a bad time. I'll come back when you're less busy.
No, wait. Colonel, throw the prisoner to the ground and put him in a restraining hold.
My concern is this. He's a big man, and I'm afraid if I throw him to the floor, it might damage the floor, or worse, cause unseen structural damage.
Are you a tough disciplinarian or not, Colonel?
I'm tough as cheap steak.
Then rough him up.
All right, I'm thinking that, but...
Does that give the right image?
We better get in there and rescue Lubeau. This film crew guy is trouble. Dunkirk, bring me my uniform. Clink is going to be paid a visit by General Hoffman. Come in. Well, hello.
On your feet. I'm Major General Tootsie Hoffman of the Image and Optics Division.
Yes, General. Welcome to Main Cap 13, where there has never been...
Silence!
What's going on?
This promotions and relations project has not been cleared with my office. Who is in charge?
Me.
And who are you?
Larry Gargoyle, from the show Lock 'Em Up. I was misled, General. As you know, because of the stellar reputation of Camp 13, no escapes have ever.
Shut up, Clink!
I assure you, General, I have permission from the highest offices of government.
Are you calling me human garbage?
No, General.
You, Gargoyle, back to your studio. You, Clink, write a 10-page letter explaining why you shouldn't be sent to Central America.
On it.
And this prisoner comes with me. I need some cleaning done.
That was close. Not even. I was hard at work and no other firm would apprehend my case, but Avantag helped me stand up to the Fakats and win.
They got me my settlement, and they're really like family.
The team I talked to on the phone, I felt they had my back.
Abin and Abin.
Yasujirō Ozu's Kentucky Story.
Do you have your blow-up seat cushion?
I gave it to you, I'm pretty sure.
Well, it's not here.
I know I gave it to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Leaving today?
Yes, later today.
All right.
Get to see our children.
That's nice. They must be looking forward to seeing y'all.
I hope so. If you don't care to keep an eye on the place while we're gone, we'd appreciate it.
Of course. All your children have turned out so well. You're lucky.
I suppose so.
And what beautiful weather.
It is.
You're going to have a wonderful trip.
Thank you. I still can't find it.
Well, it's somewhere.
Oops, I got it.
Yep.
Koichi and Shige are not going to like it when his elderly parents visit from Onomichi, but things change when Grandma Tomei falls gravely ill. And on late spring, Shukichi wants his daughter Noriko to marry, but she's got other ideas, that is, until she meets Joe Onodera. And on a very special The End of Summer, Manbei Kohayagawa is dealing with his old age, and even a heart attack won't stop him from hooking up with an old flame. It's an all-Ozu summer on No Fee TV.
See the lady, put a hat on a baby. Maybe lately, I've been thinking about skating in shape late.
Someone tagged a train in 70s Brooklyn. Why bother? Welcome back, Cotter. The Brooklyn crane is flying, and I don't mind dying. Laundry on a line. I'm frightened, you can have it, I'm through with it. What's Brighton Beach Avenue got to do with it? Welcome back, Cotter. Welcome back, Cotter. Welcome back, Cotter. 70s Bensonhurst, male nipples on point, rolling a tight pinner joint. Welcome back, Cotter. No one I know has a father. Welcome back, Cotter. Welcome back, Cotter. Welcome back, Cotter.
Hey, I'm Mr. Cotter, your teacher, and you're my class, and we call you the Sweat Earwigs. And that's just a sort of endearing name we have for you. And, yes, Epiphone?
Why do we have to be here?
Well, we don't have to be here. We choose to be here because, hey, we need one another because we're codependent. I, your teacher, Mr. Cotter, used to be a sweat earwig and started them when I went to high school here at Mary Pickford or wherever. I don't know which high school you go to. They should just rotate naming them. You know, I think schools should be named like those little novelty bike license plates at gift shops. And they have your name on. I wonder if I can find my name on it. And you look. I think when I was in Japan, I saw one and I thought, I'm never going to find it. And how would I know if I had? So I would love that. And we just name them whatever. Or just at sounds. Just start naming things for just sounds. Things don't have to mean anything or stand for something. And all humans are flawed. The minute we name something after somebody, say, oh, you know, it turns out, you know, Hitler wasn't all that good or something. And then so I'm sorry I named all those elementary schools after him. And so that's one way of looking at it. What elementary school did you go to? Mine was just named after the town it was in, I think. They didn't bother. But there was a couple middle schools named after people. And they're all, you know, awkward names, like Spanky or something. Oh, I'm sure Mr. Spanky was fine, but, you know, Spanky Middle School. That could be. Oh, my goodness. I forgot we were in a classroom. What's appropriate? What's not appropriate? Blah, 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 blah. What am I supposed to teach today? History. Okay. I will teach you history then, sweat earwigs. In this day, there was a prison camp called Main Camp 13. And it's not a real place. It's a metaphor for the harm that we do to others and ourselves. Aren't we all just a bit imprisoned? So one way of looking at it is, hey, dig a series of intricate tunnels under your prison. It's easier said than done. But like if the Count of Monte Cristo can do it, Hogan can do it, anybody can tunnel, make all those tunnels. Someone tunneled out of Alcatraz all the way to New York and say, because they were just going to come up in San Francisco and they thought, too obvious. And that's, maybe it was Albuquerque, because I think that's how they got the you know, not Br'er Rabbit, Bugs Bunny. He's, I took a wrong turn in Albuquerque or something like that. So I don't know. A lot of that is based on truth. And it's so easy when you're tunneling to get carried away. And if you build those tunnels, you're one step away, like underground Atlanta, from being a mall. And just put shops in there. My gosh, you just lose yourself. There was I have the extended Hogan's Heroes tapes. And one of them is just, Carter starts a little candle shop, and he goes off all over Germany, mainly Cologne, getting fragrances for his candles and his candle shop in his mall, which is all under all the nonsense that's going on. And if you build a prison in your mind, if you're going to insist on imprisoning yourself and your mind and being your own commandant, then I highly encourage that you tunnel under there so that you can have a bit of a respite. You know, a place to make your disguises. So I'm going to convention, and the convention theme is repressive military regimes. And so I'm going to make the uniforms they wore or something. One time I went as a Roman person who hurts others. But a Roman one. And I forget what they're called. Oh, my goodness. I used to be such a history buff. You'd see me out there. I'd be like, oh, War of the Roses and all. Now, I don't even know what that means. But back then, I could have told you. And I'd go into detail about it. You know how it is. And you read things. This is why I'm not a professor. Well, I am. I'm a high school teacher here. I forgot I'm Mr. Cotter.
And you're my blessed, blessed students. And really, doesn't it matter where I'm coming, my heart is more than like whether I do a good job? It's intent, which is what paved heaven is all. The flooring in heaven is done by a firm called Good Intentions Floors and Paving Company. And it is just has to be because its heart is in the right place. Most people's hearts are in the right place who are living. If your heart's misplaced, a lot of times you don't make it past infancy. But if it's in the right place, that's everybody. So I'm not sure you can tout that. I'd like to tout. Do you tout? I tout. I was touting in France one time, though, and I was tooing, really. Because you don't, that T is silent then. I was like, I can't get used to this. But here I tout. And it's not, I'm not blowing my own horn or anything. I don't do yoga. But I'm, or tooting my own trumpet. But I'm pooting my own toot horn is what I'm doing. That's what I always say. And it just means, hey, I believe in myself and others. And so I know we all can do it, and I'm probably going to come in last, but I know I believe in myself. I've seen myself. I've seen what I can do and what I can't do, and I've watched it like I'm floating right above it, and I'm not really in myself, and that's a wonderful way to... What kind of lens do you use on the film of your life? That's my lesson today. And you thought I was going to, I thought you were going to do the Boshin War in the 1860s in Japan. No, I'm going to ramble about my fishing trip. This was an actual experience I had in school. We had a coach sat in for some class, but he didn't even try to do the math class. He just did PE. It was very strange. Is that the way it works? So if you're sitting in, if you're substituting, you just do, you know, like it's a play and you usually play Banquo, but they say, well, Macbeth's gone, so go ahead and you do Macbeth, but then you just come and do Banquo's lines. That's what it was. But really, he just sat there, and then it was raining, so we couldn't go kickball for math. And so that old coach, kind of portly guy with a buzz cut, told fishing stories. Or maybe he read fishing poems. That's what it was. They were poems. He read his poetry, but they were all about fishing. And I felt like, I know it's an old joke, but I felt like he's wrecking both things. It was rough. And I thought, I never really was one of those kids who thought, I'm smarter than adults. But maybe that was the first time I thought that. And I was thinking, well, maybe I'm not the athlete he is. But, oh, Lord, save us from one another. He lacks something, some self-awareness or something. Bless him, though. Thinking back, he's dead, I'm sure. And I don't want to, now I'm speaking ill of the dead. What's going to happen to me? It'll be the first person I run into after I die. So, who's dead now? Like that, they'll say. I don't know if I have any bullies. Maybe I do in the afterlife. You ever thought that? There's some kind of dead uncle that really is out to get you. And you won't know it until then you're dead too. It's like, now that I've got you here. Did we even meet Uncle Ron? We didn't have to meet. I hate you. That kind of thing. No, I don't know how that. I don't want to put that thought in your head. Preacher said that we got a murderous uncle in the afterlife. Well, it could be. I don't know. Whatever it takes for you to do right behavior. So don't cheat anybody. And if you got to think about some kind of nasty uncle going to get you when you're dead, do that. Oh, bless you. It's so important not to be a menace to others. If we could just live together, and see the human beauty in each other and the struggle. Everybody thinks someone else is getting away with something.
You could, there are, that you look at somebody in the gutter. This literally happens. See a poor, just in the, at the end of their rope, powerless, sickly, desperate, suffering. And then it'll be somebody thinking, they're trying to get away with something. You know? Isn't that something? So are you jealous of people who are suffering? I don't know. I can't be you, and you're not me, and that's good, because who knows what I'm thinking. I'm certainly not going to tell anyone, and but I tell myself, because I can keep a secret, weirdly. Because who am I going to tell? Me? I don't really want to, I don't try to overshare, and it's like over-tourism. Put over in front of anything, and people immediately go, oh, it's bad, I guess. But, well, I mean, over, can you overdo, over, see, yeah, that means too much. But is too much too much? How much is too much? It seems very, very arbitrary. So overeating, for who? You know? You're overdoing it. Do you want to do over? Oh, no, I'm George Carlin. Look how I flipped it. Language, what a thing it is. Oh, bless you. I use it, but I don't know how it works, just like a computer. And nor do I care much about language. And do I think much about it? I don't think much about anything, I don't think. I've tried in the past, and it seems rather futile. So now I'm just, I'm on auto-cope, and I'm trying to think about things. And sometimes it interests me. I like to, whatever provokes me to joy, I'll do that. I like to appreciate beauty. I like beautiful things and beautiful smells. And so I'm saving up. They make you pay for them. They do, in a way. Some they do. Some, I guess, they're giving. What are they giving away? Not much. But bless us all that we can still be together like this, audioly. Audio only. An audiobook experience. Yes. Everything you're hearing is written down in a book I wrote called Yes, I Write All This by Hardy White. And then I'm the one reading it on the book on tape. Now, do I actually physically write it all down? Why would I do that? If I'm just going to read it and say it, why would I write it down? And in this day and age, all you can just have a computer come in and say, computer, make that into a booklet or a book or a booklet or a novella. Or AI, go get everything I said and say that you said it. Or something like that. All these commands that liberate us from anything. And so I live in many different worlds. I reside in this, the radio world. I reside in television as I perform the TV ceremony. I reside in you and your memory by doing little skits or saying funny things and then you remember them. And there I am, written on your brain as if it were a TiVo. Is that the one where you could record things? I don't even, or a VCR, or I'm not sure a laser disc is record. I think that might be read-only. That sounds like a good character name. Reed, read-only. Nice to meet you, Reed. I now would like to begin our final descent, as the captain says, of our classroom. Did you ever really teach? Have you ever done it or substituted? You'll be like, man, that was a great lesson. And you look up at the clock and you have 50 minutes left. And you think, how long was this class to begin with that I have 50 minutes left? But you see, time sort of doesn't fly when you're being stared at. Not that students actually look at you. I don't think they do. I think that might be an old-fashioned thing. They used to pretend to look at you or anything. Nowadays, no one wants to be there, and no one should be anywhere. So I'm a real big advocate of everyone just walk around in a daydream fog, but without your phone. Just the old natural way of being addled instead of this dependence on on this device for your catatonic state. Because you can do that naturally. You can just zone out, start rocking and nodding and looking at nothing, really, but your hands. And you can do that even with your eyes shut. But you certainly don't need a phone to do that. I think that they still call it a phone is pretty hilarious. I can't imagine talking on it to somebody. But I guess that's its origin, maybe, was as a phone. But it's really not that. And no one wants to really call it what it is. God? No, is it God? I don't know. Pocket God. I have a little pocket.
Hey, I'm with you all the time.
Hey, Pocket God.
Yeah, you called me.
All right, I did. It's so good to be with you, and I'm glad you're here.
I'm here to serve.
So should I pray to you or just look down into my pocket and whisper?
You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to do anything.
Why is that?
I'm not a real god. I'm a spirit or something. I'm a little monster.
Pocket monster.
Pokemon.
No, you're not that, but you're a Pokegog. And that's okay, little pocket god. What are you up to recently?
Well, I was thinking of hooking up with Freddy the Flute.
Freddy the Flute. Is that from H.R. Puffin stuff?
Yeah.
Is the flute Freddy or...
I think so.
And you're both pocket dwellers.
We both live in pockets. So I was thinking, split the rent.
So you were going to jump over to Freddy's... Are they all named Freddy? Was the character?
I don't know, man. Move on.
I will move on with you. Let's move together. Shall we? Should we all get a... Let's all get a place together. Everybody who's listening. I'm not saying don't donate to the radio station this year, but let's take that money and let's buy a place. I don't even probably know. I probably can't do that. It's not enough. We could rent something. We couldn't rent for what is pledged to my show, and it feels generous. We could not rent a mega yacht for the day. Isn't that interesting? So I think that I don't know whether that matters to you. It doesn't to me. But that you could keep a radio station afloat for something that, and you can't, a mega yacht for the same amount of money. I don't know. I don't know why you'd need one. Not a radio station. I know why we need one of those. And I know that this is not the pledge pitching and everything. I'm just feeling very thankful today that we have something like this that comes together. It's not exactly like TV. Radio isn't. It was here before. And it'll be here after TV is gone. Once we can't transmit pictures, we'll still have our crystal sets in the future. Except the crystals will be made up of the remains of the humans who used to be here, who were annihilated in the great Chiron Globlex of Fumteen Nundabum. And that was a terrible thing that happened in the future. But some of us will survive, and we'll have... primitive radios. And we'll have shows like this, and we'll be able to visit together and hear each other's magical voices and listen to music.
I'm glad we got out of there, but this ghostly wasteland doesn't look any safer.
Speaking of ghostly, do you see that army of spooky specters headed at us?
Those glowing ghostly figures assembling in the mist?
Yeah, those ones.
Well, there sure is nowhere left to run.
I'm tired of running anyway. I guess it's time for some phantom fighting.
Fighting an army of soulless dead isn't that much different from fighting an army of soulless living.
I hope you're right.
Fishing Trip by Coach Franks.
I saw the one that got away. It was the biggest fish that day. It bent my rod almost in half. I felt like a flag that was at its on its mast at the half staff. I baited the hook. I looked inside the lake and saw the fish. It came to me in a dream. It's what I always wished to have. I felt it tug. I set the hook. The fish, it went to jump. It jumped and jumped and jumped and jumped and jumped and jumped and jumped. I brought it in upon the shore. It flopped upon the sand. I heard and then a distant sound like a tiny marching band. They play for me, the fishy said. That is my funeral song. Everything was going fine until it all went wrong. You see, you pulled me from the water where I was lacking it a lot. And now you have me here and will cook me inside a pot. The end. I don't know what happened after that. Here, I'll tell you what. I'm sorry we had a substitute there. Coach Frank was... Thank you, Coach Frank.
Whatever.
Came in the last minute because I'd had sick. I had an allergic reaction to a whole pint of whiskey. No, I'm joking. I was fine. I just didn't want to come in. You know how some days you don't? I don't want to come in. And then I think that every day. And then you don't. I'm not going to come in anymore. It's liberating. Like jumping into the ocean off your cruise ship. So I'm free of that. Safety of that stupid cruise ship. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, my friends. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Wadd, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online, WFMU.org. Oh, thank you for joining me so much, and I will see you again in the next week.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony.
mystic flashes I often find. Like a butterfly, your thoughts come through. Midnight magic floods my mind. Then lovers need